The Gospel reading is on page 87 in the New Testament section of the Church Bible. Page 87. The Lord Jesus is looking forward into the future, and we'll read two sections of this chapter. He looks forward into the future of the world, and then, if we may put it this way, he looks forward into his own future. The Holy Gospel is written in the 21st chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, beginning at the 5th verse. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left on another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? What will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'The time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven." So much for the world. Now, what about Jesus? Move forward with me to verse 25. "There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken." Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things take place, know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on your guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. And that day, catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that will take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise you indeed, O Lord, that in all your goodness to us you have also given to us a bright and shining hope, something great on the horizon to look forward to, something to buoy us up when the going is hard and the day is difficult, and we can look up and lift up our heads because our redemption is drawing near. Lord, instruct us about that great hope as we consider your word together. Help us not only to grasp the facts, but to believe what we read and to look forward to what is coming. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Can I pick out three verses for you from the passage that we just read? Here they are. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. That's verse 27. They will see the Son of Man. Verse 28. When these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing nigh. Your redemption. And the third of my three verses is verse 36. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that will take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. To stand before the Son of Man. Is it a dreadful thing to confess to you that there's one bit of the creed I would like to rewrite and make different? Does that shock you? No, I don't want to change the creed to say on the third day he didn't rise again or anything like that. But when the creed comes to speak of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, what does it say? He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. Now that's true. He will come, and he will come as judge. And Jesus, in one of his many, many stories, which we call the parables, spoke of a king returning to settle accounts. He didn't conceal the fact that at his return there will be an element and an act of judgment. No, I don't want to rewrite that bit of the creed because it's untrue. I want to rewrite it because it hasn't got the balance right. Of all things to pick out concerning the second coming, I want to know why the creed picks out the threatening bit. I think the creed was composed at a time when the then church and its leaders rather reveled in things that threatened, a sort of buck up chaps sort of attitude. But when we read the New Testament attentively, that's not the main stress on the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my rewritten creed instead of saying he will come again to judge the quick and the dead, my written creed would say he will come again to gather his people to himself. And if you're sitting beside me in church, and I am alert to what I'm doing, you'll hear me say that. I say it under my breath. I don't make a fuss about it. He will come again to gather his people to himself. How about that? How very different. The second coming of Jesus is our homecoming. Other verses say he will send out his angels and he will gather his elect from the four corners of the earth. I do love that word, his elect. His chosen ones. He's like an adopting parent in the former days when there were crowds of children for adoption. And the adopting parent would be able to say, I'll have that one. We are his children by adoption and grace. By his choice, I'll have that one. And it says he will send out his angels and gather his elect from the four corners of the earth. Jesus himself said, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, my written creed is quite true to the Bible, isn't it? To be taken into his presence. And then there's that marvelous verse that Paul wrote in Thessalonians. We shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, doesn't that put a wholly different complexion from the thing that you say in the creed? He will come to gather his people to himself. His elect, his chosen ones, to be with him where he is. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Or in that other story that Jesus told about the 10 bridesmaids, of whom 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. I met a dear old boy called Mr. Moody in Bristol years ago, and he had such a long face. I said, dear Mr. Moody, what is the matter with you? Well, he said, I was taking my boys' Bible class yesterday, and I was talking to them about the parable of the 10 virgins. He said, and I said to them, which do you want to be? Do you want to be in the light with the wise virgins or in the dark with the foolish virgins? And he said the answer was unanimous. But what does Jesus say? When the 5 girls go out to meet him with their lamps alight, they go in with the bridegroom and the door is shut. Not to shut the others out, but to shut them in. They are gathered forever with the Lord. He will come again to gather his people to himself. So will you just look with me at my 3 verses? Then they will see the Son of Man coming in power with great glory. They will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is a visible and glorious coming. Coming with a cloud means that he's coming in his full reality as God. when he came first time round, he came quietly and unobtrusively. How silently we sing, we'll sing it at Christmas, how silently the wondrous gift is given. He came secretly, unobtrusively, with his deity veiled by his humanity. But when he comes again, he will come with a cloud, the cloud of divinity. Do you remember in the Old Testament when Israel came out of Egypt and they were walking through the wilderness and the Lord went with them? In what form did he go with them? A pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. On they march, the pillar leading. Cloud by day and fire by night, said John Newton. The cloud is the visible symbol that God is here and Jesus will come wrapped in the cloud. He will come in his full divinity. He will come in glory, visibly, manifestly. On the day of his ascension, naturally the little knot of people who were with him on the Mount of Olives were looking up, and they saw Jesus rise from the earth. He was going away, and a cloud came and gathered him out of their sight. But of course they stood looking up. Well, you would, wouldn't you? Can we get another glimpse of him? You would, wouldn't you? And two men in white stood by them who said, "Ye men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus will so come in like manner as you saw him go." Now, I've got to tell you that in the Greek of the Acts of the Apostles, that word "same" is not there. But such a jolly good interpretation to slip in. This same Jesus, this Jesus, the one you know, he will come like you saw him go. He will come with a cloud. He will come visibly. He will come in his full reality as the Lord God Almighty. And every eye will see him. And the angels will throng with him. And our dear ones who have been with him will come with him. And, says Paul, we shall be caught up to meet him in the air. And there's nothing remarkable about that. If Jesus were to appear visibly in this church now, standing there, do you know what you would do? You would rush to get as near him as possible. You would be so magnetized by the beauty and the love. I can't get near enough to him. And when he comes again, that beauty and that love will magnetize us from earth to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Francis Ridley Havergal wrote that rather fine hymn, "Thou art coming, O my Saviour, Thou art coming, O my King." And one of the verses says, "Oh, the joy to see thee reigning, thee, my own beloved Lord, every tongue thy name confessing, glory, honor, worship, blessing, made to thee with one accord." So shall we ever be with the Lord. He will come visibly. When he comes, we will enjoy the full benefit of all that he has done for us. My verse says, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. What comes when Jesus comes? Your redemption is coming. All that he has ever done for us, summed up in one word, redemption. There are two Greek words that are translated by the English word redemption. The first is a slave market word, buying somebody from one ownership to another. That's what our redemption is. Jesus has bought us for himself, to own us and to possess us. We have passed into his possession and ownership by the purchase price of his precious blood shed upon the cross. You are mine because I bought you. Your redemption is drawing near. We will know the full reality of that blessed ownership which began at Calvary. What a security is ours then, beloved. What a fearlessness in the presence of the great Lord God Almighty in all his glory. What acceptance. He will look on us and say, oh yes, I remember buying you. You're mine. Of course he remembers. We used to sing years and years ago in those marvelous songs that we used to sing in those far off days, that shepherd so kind had me in his mind when he laid down his life for the sheep. Of course, I bought you. You're mine. The other word for redemption is the debt paying word. The price covering word. It's an expression that we still use when we go out shopping. Have I got enough money to cover it? Meaning that we will fill our little trolleys in the supermarket and go round with them, and the stuff in the trolley still belongs to Mr. Tesco or Mr. Morrison or Mr. Waitrose or whoever. We've put it in our trolley, but it's still his, until we come to the checkout. And then we put down our money that covers the deal. Now it's mine, because the debt has been covered. And all our indebtedness before God, everything in which we have ever offended or alienated or put him off, it has been covered, my beloved, not by being swept under the carpet as though it didn't matter. It has been covered by a purchase price which has paid for it. The precious blood of Jesus. Your redemption draws near. Oh, what a day. And my third verse says, pray that you may have strength to escape all things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. We will be eternally secure in his presence. To stand means to have a permanent and unquestioned position in his presence. To stand. Bold shall I stand in that great day, For who aught to my charge shall lay? Fully absolved by these I am from guilt and shame, from death and sin. These, the blood and righteousness of Christ, fully absolved. The debt has been paid. We don't slink in hoping for the best. I often think of it this way. Suppose you and I were standing before the Lord, and suppose that Satan himself came to accuse us, and suppose that out of his capacious memory he brought forth publicly there before God every wrong thing that I'd ever done, every wrong thought I'd ever thought, every wrong word I've ever said, every wrong imagination I've ever imagined, every wrong thing without exception, a seemingly endless catalogue flowing out of his mouth, accusing me again and again and again, and I know that it's all true. And I want the golden floor to open up and swallow me. But at long last, imagine, at long last the catalogue ends. It's all been said, everything that stands against me. And with great trembling, I look up to see how the Son of Man is reacting. And there's a look of astonishment on his face. And he says to Satan, "You do amaze me. I don't remember anything of that. Their sins and their iniquities," he says, "I will remember no more." We're aware of them. He has paid the price. They're gone. And out of the Lord's capacious memory, they have been banished forever. I don't remember. And we shall stand secure before the Son of Man. Now, my beloved, lift up your heads. Your redemption is drawing near. Lift up your eyes and fill them with Jesus. Lift up your expectations, because we have a sure and certain hope. Rest easy. In Christ we have eternal security.